Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
At thetakeaway.org. Certainly the bailout of AIG and the financial turmoil of the past week and really the past several months has had people taking another look at the regulatory scheme in the financial markets. The Securities and Exchange Commission, some say, has much to answer for the current turmoil. Robert Heim was a former assistant regional director of the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission in New York from 1993 to 1999. He joins us now. Thank you very much for being with us.
Good morning, John.
Robert, Christopher Cox, who is head of the SEC now, famously told Congress a few months back that he wasn't particularly interested in more regulations to help prevent problems like with Bear Stearns and in the subprime mortgage crisis. What was your reaction to that?
Well, John, I think essentially the idea of no more regulation and a hands-off approach by the regulators is going to be over on Wall Street. The latest government bailouts of financial institutions have put taxpayer money at risk, and there's really been a sea change now. Once the government starts to loan money to failing firms and putting taxpayers at risk, they're going to want more oversight of these financial institutions. And the idea of less regulation was pretty popular over the last 8 years. It was promoted by industry, who said it would be anti-competitive to put more government regulation on them. They argued for self-regulation, but it has not turned out the way that they anticipated.
Why didn't Sarbanes-Oxley have any sort of impact here after the Enron crisis?
Well, that's an interesting question. And essentially, Sarbanes-Oxley was really directed at publicly traded companies in terms of improving their disclosures and management oversight. And what we really have here in this situation is firms that have had very toxic assets on their balance sheets. These investment banks had very complicated financial products, a lot of which were tied to housing and mortgage products.
Yeah, I think that's well understood. What they weren't always toxic, though, Robert. And explain to me how companies can get around regulations of stocks by creating new instruments, just basically new paper. We'll call it a widget-o-rama, and it's worth this much, and I'll give you this, and you give me this money, and all of a sudden you're in a completely unregulated zone.
Oh, that's right, John. That's one of the key problems of what led to this crisis are these very complicated structured finance products, which were created over the last 5 or 6 years by investment banks. And really, there's not a very good methodology in terms of valuing them. We had rating agencies that were supposed to review these products and give them appropriate ratings based on their risk level. But many of the rating agencies issued investment-grade ratings on these products, leading to their widespread adoption by many investors and many investment banks. And the basic problem here is that there's not enough transparency in investment banks. Many of these products don't trade on exchanges. They're done in private transactions. And regulators really don't know the inner workings of what's going on at investment banks. And part of that problem stems from the fact that our regulatory structure really is a product of the 1930s. It was put into place after the Great Depression. There's a separation between the SEC, the Federal Reserve, the commodities regulators. So a lot of times the regulators are just looking at a very narrow part of the business, when in reality there's much riskier assets on the business that stretch across all business lines.
Robert, what makes this a little interesting is the exact same people who made those decisions urging for less oversight are now the exact ones who are trying to help the Fed and the Treasury Department help them dig themselves out. How does that portray, and how should I have any confidence in that as an American consumer?
Well, that's exactly the most ironic part of the companies approaching the Federal Reserve and the Treasury Department for loans. Some of the leaders of these companies for the last 8 or 9 years were the biggest proponents of the free market and arguing against more regulation. Now that their firms have gotten into financial trouble, they've lined up for government bailouts. And it really is a bit of hypocrisy on the part of the leaders of these firms. The government drew a line in the sand, the Federal Reserve and the Treasury Department, when they allowed Lehman Brothers to fail. They didn't want to encourage this kind of expectation that the government would bail out more financial firms.
But they certainly talked about the creation of all these new instruments as this innovative kind of miracle of the marketplace. And I love how you describe it. Basically, banks were permitted to create paper, they call up Moody's and say, here, you rate this paper. And all of a sudden, it trades like a stock. And all the fate of banks and portfolios all over the world are in the balance.
That's absolutely right. This is really a global crisis. Mortgages that were made out in the Midwest were spun out into these financial products, and much of it was located here in the U.S., but many of those products were also sold overseas.
Well, it's a very disheartening legacy, but thank you so much for helping to explain it to us.
Thanks a lot, John.
Robert Heim is formerly an assistant regional director of the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission in New York City. Let's make some paper and get somebody to
rate it. I like that idea,
and then
actually,
we'll trade it.
And we'll make it purple paper, because that's the new trend, is purple.